Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want some testimonies after all that. Amen? Praise God. Well, look at your neighbor and said, I believe something good is going to happen to you today. Look at your other neighbor and say, you look good, but you even look better in church. All right. Some of y'all had to say that graciously, but I hope you did. All right. Who's happy to be here this morning? Amen. Well, I know I am, and I'm so glad that you're here with us. If you have your Bibles, open them to Mark chapter 2. Thank you, worship team. Let's give our worship team a hand. Didn't they do a great job? You guys are my favorite. Well, if you're here for the first time, baby, or hadn't been here in a while, we've been on this journey, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. You know, there's lots of people that can play a huge role in your life, and there's many of you that probably had a grandma or a grandpa or someone of influence. Maybe it was an ex-boss. Maybe you were in the military and you had a sergeant that was, you know, stood out to you. But how many of y'all believe the one that should stand out the most is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And I'm telling you, he has showed us some things, and he's given us examples to live by. In fact, it says in the Word in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, for as a believer, come on, lift your hand if you're a believer this morning. You believe that he died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. As a believer, you have been called for this purpose. God will give you a purpose. If you came in here this morning saying, I don't have no purpose in life, I promise you, if you just press in, lean in your chair this morning, God will give you a purpose and a hope. It says, for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his footsteps. So those of you that have been here over the last couple of weeks, you see that we have been doing some things, whether it be us following the crowd that reacted to some things that Jesus did or following in the footsteps of Jesus. How many of y'all know he's already packed the sand in front of you? So you don't have to suffer through all of that. Narrow is the gate to Jesus. Wide is the one to the destruction, right? And so we've seen him as the one who raised the dead. We see that in John chapter 11, that resurrection is not just a time or a place, but it's a person. Amen? He is the resurrection and the life. And I believe this morning you may have come in here with some things that are dead and gone. But I promise you, if you lean into the Word of God and lean into Jesus, those things that are dead will come back to life in Jesus' name. Amen? And we've also seen him as the provider. He will supply all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We saw in the Scripture about the net-breaking, boat-sinking catch. We saw in Scripture he's the multiplier. A boy comes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Bible said that all the men there was 5,000 men. And there's a boy that comes up, a boy that was not even a part of the count, a boy that was not even valued enough to be in the number of the people that were there. He came up, and I'm here to tell you this morning, and like I said it a couple weeks ago, you may feel unvalued, but you're the one that can bring the miracle. 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 sardines and 2 saltine crackers. And as God began to thank it and begin to bless God and thank him for those 5 sardines and 2 crackers, the Lord began to provide, I mean, more and more, and their bellies were full. How many of y'all believe that God is the multiplier? He's not the divider. He's not the subtractor. He is the one who adds and multiplies. He's the storm calmer. He's the deliverer. He's the healer. And today I want to look at a text. He is the forgiver. How many of y'all are thankful that he forgives you of your sins and cleanses you of all unrighteousness? How many of y'all need forgiveness this week for your boneheaded moves you've done? All right. Amen. Let's look at them. All right. Praise the Lord. He was without sin, cast the first stone. So I'm not going to do that. Amen? So let's go to Mark chapter 2. Pastor, we were in Mark chapter 4 a couple weeks ago, Mark chapter 5. Now you're going backwards. Yes, I am. I'm the one preaching, you're not. Come on, let's go. Mark chapter 2, the paralytic healed. Y'all ready? Oh, man, I can't wait. It says, Jesus returned to Capernaum. This is the city of Jesus. He had come from Galilee. He began to minister in Galilee there, so he comes back to Capernaum. Remember, Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth. It says sometimes a prophet is not accepted in his hometown, so he goes to this place, Capernaum, and we see lots of miracles that happen in Capernaum. In fact, when you go there today, they say this is the city of Jesus and where he dwelt. And it said a few days later, the news went out that he was at home. And so what's interesting about this text, Mark is the writer, and we know that the stories that Mark is getting is from the Apostle Peter. We know from text and from commentary that this is Peter's house. And the reason that this is one of the famous stories that Mark writes is because he writes it a whole lot different than Matthew and Luke. Matthew writes about this paralytic and these men who bring this man. And Luke writes about it as well. But what's different about Mark's is we'll see something here in a minute. But I want to point out that this is inside of Peter's house. I'm telling you, you want miracles in your house, you invite Jesus inside of it. All right? And so here they are. He was at home, verse 2. So many, they had heard the news. See that in verse 1. The news went out that it's so important. I said it last week and I'll say it again. News about Jesus needs to be done in the marketplace. What has God done for you? You want a miracle happening all around you? Come on, share him at Pakasak. Share him wherever you are. Let your light shine. Let his light shine through you. So many people gathered because they had heard together that there was no longer room for them. Not even near the door. There was no room. I mean, they're busting at the seams at this place inside this house. And Jesus was discussing the word of God. You know what he was doing? He wasn't doing even what I'm doing. I'm preaching this morning. But he was discussing the word of God with these people. You know, That encourages me because I know in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, I hope he was doing a good job of it because how many of y'all know he was the Word? The Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here he is discussing the Word. He's not preaching the Word, but he is discussing the Word with these people. Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and he healed us and delivered us from all destruction. It tells us in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Pastor, why are you saying this? Because I'm telling you this, be very careful of who you listen to. Be very careful who you know, there might be an appealing speaker that you hear, but you know what you get in this house and you've always gotten this house, you get the word. You know what we need in America today? We need a revival of the Bible. There's lots of people, they share one scripture and then they tell all these stories. They sound like Dr. Phil on steroids. But here's the thing. You know what changes you? Not my words, but this word. I'll say that again. You know what changes you? Not my words, but this word right here. I may give you an examples, but I'm telling you, all these words will pass away, but not the word of God. You know what it said in Matthew 4? He answered and said, it is written, man shall live by bread alone, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What does it say in James chapter 1 and verse 21? It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Ezekiel talks about having a heart of stone now becoming a heart of flesh. You know what we need is have a transplant, and how you have a transplant of your heart is getting into the implanted word of God in your life. You need to have a transplant of the word. And what was he doing? I just want to tell you, you know what set up the miracle? Was discussing the word. You know why we're Word Church? Because we believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. We believe he's still the healer, but you know what invites the healer in? The word of God. We believe he's still the deliverer, but you know what invites the deliverer in? The word of God, the spoken word of God. You know what brings in the multiplier? The spoken word of God. So he's in this house, and I want to invite you in your house. If you need a miracle in your home, you discuss the word in your home. A couple of nights ago, Ketch, he didn't feel too hot, and we made a pallet at the head of our bed there, and Anson came in and said, "Why is he down?" I said, "Well, he doesn't feel good." And right away, Anson laid his hands on him, said, and I mean, it blessed us so much. He prayed the word over that boy. You know how he knew to do that? Because he's learned that in his home, to lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. He learned it at Gigi and Pawpaw's house. You lay hands on the sick and see them recover. He's learned that places that he's gone. But I wanted to say, and you know what? He had a temperature and the temperature went away. You know what we did? We told Anson, because he sent his word and healed us. I want to set it up for miracles inside of my house. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? We want the word inside of our home. Get the word inside of your home. I'll say it again. Get the word inside of your home. Don't just have the crosses and the scriptures up. Discuss the word. So he's discussing the word of God. Verse 3, then they came bringing, physically carrying to him a paralyzed man. This man who cannot move. Who was being carried by four men. This paints a picture to me that this is a very large man. In fact, the word, when we get to the word mat, in the Greek talks about that this was his home. So all he had lived on this mat. Everything about him was on this mat. He could not move from this mat because he was fixed there. He was paralyzed there. And there's these four men that bring him in, carrying him, all four of them. You need some friends that'll carry you some places. When they were unable to get in because of the crowd, it's so packed, they were unable to get in. They removed the roof above Jesus, and when they dug out an opening, they let down the mat on which the paralyzed man was lying. This word dug out here, so they removed the roof. All right, we can't get in the door. We're going to carry him up the side. I mean, think about this. Put this inside of your head. Here's these four men. They carry him. They put him up on top of the roof. Jesus is inside, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and you begin to hear things. We've been in church before when there's a rainstorm. How many of y'all been in here when the rain, it feels like the ceiling's going to cave in? They're distracted by all this stuff. And then this word dug out, you know what it means? To gouge out eyes. So he has these friends that are trying to get him to Jesus because they couldn't get in the front door. And they begin to, it's a violent act of them gouging out the roof. Now this is a clay roof. It has tiles, so they've moved the tiles. They're going through the clay to let this man down. Now, I want you to think about this. I want to talk to the church at America right now. There's so many things that keep us out of the house of God. But can you imagine dirt falling on your head because someone's trying to get into Jesus? Come on, who am I talking to today? You need to elbow somebody and say, he's talking to you right now. Can you imagine the dirt that's coming down, the dust that's coming down, but you know what? Nobody's still left. I'm going to say that one more time. Nobody still left. Here they are. I want you to picture that. There's so many people inside the room here. They're bringing them down. Think of the distraction. When Jesus saw their faith, he didn't hear their faith. He saw their faith. He saw the actions of their faith. Faith is something you can't see, but he saw the actions of their faith. I want to ask you this morning, can Jesus see the actions of your faith? And so he saw their faith, springing from confidence in him. He said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. That word forgiven is permanently dismissed. Not temporary, but permanently. As of this day forward, I don't see him anymore. But some of the scribes were sitting there debating in their hearts the implications of what he had said. Why does this man talk that way? He is blaspheming. This is what the word means. It means language that's offensive. Who can forgive sins, remove guilt, nullify sin's penalty, and assign righteousness except God alone? Immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately, Jesus being full aware, meaning he had firsthand knowledge and knowing in his spirit what they were thinking. Now, I want to just remind you, they didn't say this out loud, but they were thinking amongst themselves. Some of y'all need to repent right now for the things that you're thinking. I want to remind you, Jesus knows your thoughts. I'm going to say that again. Jesus knows your thoughts. Jesus knows your thoughts. So he is one step ahead of them that he does. They don't even have to say it. He hears it in his spirit. Why are you debating and arguing about these things in your hearts? Which is easier? Which is of no effort? To say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your mat and walk. He's saying to say these things, it's of no effort. I can say those things all day long. But there's the difference. So he's talking to them. Which is easier? Which is easier? Son of man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And so he's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees here, the scribes. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority and power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, so then he looks to the man and says, I say to you, get up. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, get up. Get up, pick up your mat and go home. He is saying this, act on my authority. I want to tell you this morning, you have the same authority living on the inside of you. Act on my authority. And he got up and immediately, the word here means without delay, he picked up the mat and went out before them all, before their faces, so that they all were astonished, and they glorified and praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Now, there's some things about the text that I want to point out, and I hope you get a great picture of what is going on here, but there's some things inside of this story that really pointed out to me. There's a group of men that I meet with from time to time, and we really broke this story down. But even after coming together with them, there's some things that really, this last week, that the Lord just began to show me. In verse 4, it says, when they were unable to get to him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus, and when they had dug out an opening, they let down the mat on which the paralyzed man was lying. Here's my point this morning. This is more of a question to bring to you. How many times do we stop at the first door? I'm going to ask you that question again. How many times do we stop at the first door? And I already said this. I want to talk to the church in America. But lots of times we stop the miracle from happening in our life because we have excuses. There's too many to get in. They could have said right then, you know what? Let's go home. There's no use. How many times do Christians and believers inside this room say, oh, it's too cold? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Oh, it's too hot. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. I've heard both. Or they parked in my spot. And they pulled up and saw all them people out there. Y'all are laughing. But there's some of y'all, I know you're in the crowd. You have left the parking lot because somebody parked in my spot. Somebody sat in my seat. They walked in the door and they saw it. They know I sit there. I know that you know that I know that you know that I sit there every single Sunday. How many of y'all? Come on. Y'all are laughing, but I'm teaching the cold hard truth to y'all this morning. In 2020, y'all don't even have to have an excuse to come to church. The government tells you not to, so you don't. Hello. How about this one? The weather. Y'all, I'm just going to tell you this. In the winter, it gets cold. Who am I talking to? In the winter, it gets cold. And there's some people that didn't come to church today because it rained. Come on, we ought to thank God for the rain. Come on, thank God for the rain. Let's thank God for the rain. Oh, there's something. We got Pee-wee this and Pee-wee that. I was going to go to my ex-boyfriend's friend has a dog that has a neighbor, and he's having a barbecue. And so that keeps him out of the house of God. Come on, I know it's funny, but it happens all the time. It's not funny. There's so many things. Oh, it's too packed in there. Oh, they don't have masks on. Oh, my gosh. You'll go to Target and the liquor store, but you won't come to the house of God. Who am I talking to? COVID is over, all right? That's not an excuse anymore. It's over. I would tell you a COVID-19 joke, but there's a 99.9% chance you won't get it. So praise the Lord. Moving on. If you hate me now, send Pastor Robert an email. That's my seat. It's too long. It's too short. Come on, there's so many excuses that you can have to keep you out of a miracle. I'm going to say that again. You can have excuse after excuse after excuse, and right now you're thinking of excuses. You may have already been mad about something that I've said, but that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is come to the door and say, oh, man, it's too late. How many times do we stop pursuing to get in because it's not packaged the way we thought it was supposed to be packaged? I just knew that was the job that I was supposed to have. So then you give up. They said, well, we have another opportunity right here. Nope, that's the one I wanted. I don't care. We get an attitude. But who knows, if you'd have taken that position right there, you would have went right up to the top. God was just trying to paint a picture. Hey, I am in control. You are not, big boy. That was the car that I'm supposed to have. That was my car. How many times have y'all had situations before where you thought to yourself, man, that was supposed to be mine. That was supposed to be my house. Thank God you didn't get that asbestos-controlled house that you thought had to be yours. Come on, I'm trying to talk to some faithful people that stand the course of time, that the doors that God opens, no man can shut. Who am I talking to? How many sweet times do we stop at doors? We stop and we think, oh man, that was supposed to be my house. That's supposed to be my man. I've heard this one. Haven't we heard this one? He was mine. Take his mitts. She needs to take his mitts off of him. She was mine. Hello. We going to be fighting. Come on. We got like Tinder.com happening in the church. Farmers only. You don't have to be lonely. Amen. Oh, she was mine. Listen, God has someone better for you. God has someone better for you. I'm going to tell somebody this morning, God has someone better for you. Supposed to be my man. This was supposed to be my break. I know I'm number 2,467 of this Ponzi scheme, but I just knew this was going to be my break. I knew it. And how many times do we stop at that door rather than being faithful and keep going? You know what? That might not be my big great break. That might not be the thing that's going to send me over the top, but I'm going to keep chugging away. I'm going to find some way to get inside the house. I'm not going to stop right here. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to choose not to look at all those other things. I'm going to keep pursuing. I'm going to dig my hands into the roof, and I'm going to dig through whatever I can get through. Come on, I'm talking to faithful people this morning. How many of y'all getting something out of the word already? Here's the next thing. You need to find friends that will elevate you. Some of y'all didn't hear me. You need to find friends that will elevate you. I'll tell you right now, it's better to have 4 quarters than 100 pennies. Amen? Birds of a feather flock together. We rise and we fall to the level of our friends. You know what we want? We want people to agree with us. And if they don't agree with us, I'm offended. You know what we look for? We have friends on Facebook that think like we think. Politically, socially, emotionally, spiritually. And if you don't believe like I believe, you can't be my friend no more. In situations when we call somebody and we want them to agree with us. You know, looking at this text right here, you want a miracle in your life? You need friends in your life that will say, I know you want to stoop down to the way the world's way of thinking. I know you want to stoop down here, but let me tell you something. There's another way in, and it's right up here. Let's not stoop down the way they're thinking and want us to think, but let's go up here and take the high road. If God be for me, then who in the world could be? You know what I want? I want some people that will take me to the rooftop and not to the basement. I need some people in my life that will say, you know what? You may be going through some stuff and it looks like the door's been shut in front of you, but I want some people in my life that say, you know what? Don't let that stop you. You keep pursuing your dream. You keep pursuing your goal. You keep pursuing what God told you to do, and I'm telling you, you'll be in the right place at the right time. Get some people in your life that will elevate you. Sometimes you've got to get to a new... I see it all the time. You won't just have one offended in the church. Their little posse's offended. They get together. I just don't like this. And you liked it, but you agree with them. Oh, I don't like it either. Pastor Michelle's laughing because she's had to deal with it. Ain't that right? Some of y'all, I can see all your mad mugging me right now. I don't even care. I'm speaking the truth in love right now. How many times do we have people? If you don't get mad about it, we can't be friends. We ain't getting together no more. No more fried chicken in my house. I promise you that right now. But you know what a true friend does? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. You know what it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2? It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It tells us in scriptures to mourn with those who mourn. It tells with us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. But it doesn't mean that we need to fall into strife and believe the lie of the enemy. What we need is to have people in our life that says, you know what? It looks bad right now. But those things that the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for good. And that may have not been the job that may have been the job that you thought was yours. That may have been the man that you thought was yours, but you just keep plugging away. You keep pursuing after the things of righteousness. You keep living a holy life. You keep doing what the Word of God says to do, and I'm telling you, there's a tree. It may look like a mustard seed right now, but there is a tree that's about to bloom, and you'll be right in the middle of the will of God if you just elevate in Jesus' name. Come on. Why am I excited? Because I'm telling you, if you get this, if you get revelation this morning, this story's here for a reason. And I just want to point out that Peter's the only one said that they gouged through the roof. How many of y'all know if somebody's poking holes in your roof, you're going to write about it? Peter or Matthew doesn't, Luke doesn't, but Peter's text, through Mark writing it, he points this out, that they are digging. You know what I need? I need friends in my corner that are going to dig for me. I want some people that's going to be throwing up dirt. I'm telling you, we may have lots of friends, but like I said before, it's better to have four quarters than 100 pennies. Get people in your corner. Get in your corner that will take you to a new level. To a new level. And so think about it in the text here. He says, then it goes on, gone to say, when Jesus saw their faith. You know what I believe? I believe he not only saw the faith of the men, but he saw the faith inside the room. When people still stayed, I'm telling you, if we had pews in here, hard pews, there'd half of you wouldn't come to church. I'm sweating right now. Don, it's too hot in here. But we have excuse after excuse, but I believe he saw not only the faith inside the room, but he saw the faith of the four. I'm going to tell you, it was a group effort of faith that brought the forgiveness. And listen to this. Their faith It was their faith that provided forgiveness of sins. I just want to point out to the text here, it's not what brought the healing, but it's what brought forgiveness. What kind of roots are you digging through to get loved ones and lost ones into the house of God? What kind of things that you're doing, or maybe you've said, you know what, this door's just closed. Well, you know, when I read this text and I saw that their faith brought the forgiveness of sins, it fired something up on the inside of me. What am I doing for neighbors? What am I doing for clients? They may have shut the door in my face, say, I don't want to talk about that, but have I still been on my knees to pray for them? Have I still had faith to believe that they'll come to the land of the living and God will forgive them of their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness? Come on, I'm trying to build somebody's faith this morning that may have given up on a son, that may have given up on a daughter. You may have given up on a niece or a nephew or someone that you love inside of your life, but I want to ask you this morning, what kind of ditches will you dig through? What kind of waters will you navigate through to get those people into the house of God? To see them saved, to be them set free, healed, delivered, sanctified. Come on, how many of y'all are going to agree with me that we will have faith to keep plugging along, to share the good news of Jesus Christ? That's what God's commissioned you to do. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, and lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. You study that out. He said, it's the power of God will be on you until the end of time. You know how you get the power of God? You share the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is that? That is the word. We'll go back to it again. You know what brought the miracle? The word. The word. I also want to point out something too that I actually didn't even write this down. You know what brought the healing? Was the haters. Think about it. But some of the scribes are sitting there debating in their hearts, why does this man talk this way? Their faith of the men brought the forgiveness, but what brought the healing was the guys who did not believe and doubted inside of their heart. So you may be in a you might be in a position right now where there is people that is against you. You may have a fork in the road of either still to pursue Christ or to pursue the things of this world. That there is doubt and disbelief that you won't make it. Whether in healing and health or maybe in your position, whatever that it is, you maybe have people in your job that are against you. I'm telling you, you may be in that position right now, but healing's coming your way. Healing, you keep plugging in. You keep pursuing. You keep going after the things of righteousness. How many of y'all getting something out of the word this morning? Come on, this is something you can apply to your life. I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship team, you can come forward at this time. But here's the last thing that I see about the text. See, lots of times we think, hey, that door's shut. There's no way I'm going to be able to go through it. But you keep being faithful. You finally get in through the roof. Forgiveness and healing comes. See, who would have thought, how many of y'all have ever been in that position before where you thought that was the position you were supposed to have? And you took another one, and thank God you took the one you took. Or the car, or the spouse, or the house. Thank God you went that direction. But here's the deal. If they would have just went in and he was healed, I believe that was a miracle, right? I believe it was a miracle. But think of how many more people were affected when he came through the roof. You may not see why you're in that position. Like many of you that I prayed for, just a while ago, that I had word from Acts chapter 12 for you. You may be up against something that you don't see yourself. You think there's no way that this is it. But I promise you, you just be faithful to the Lord. It will not only affect you, but it will affect your family. It will affect your neighbors. It will affect your nation. It will affect everybody around you. See, if they would have just walked through the door like everybody else did, hey, that would have been a miracle. But how many of y'all know, it says right here, we have never seen anything like this. You know what the Greek says? They kept saying over and over, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. You know what? God wants to use you to show your neighbors. We've never seen anything like this. God wants to use you to show your family. We've never seen anything like this. God wants to show you, do something on the inside of you to show your job or your place of employment and all the people that are around you and see you. God wants to use that thing that looked like there was no way you were getting out of it, but you kept plugging through. You kept believing for that healing. You kept believing for God to restore that marriage. You kept believing for that son or that daughter to come home. See, there's many more people that were affected. We've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. Everybody was affected. Not just the one, but I believe the four were. The whole house was. I believe even the scribes that doubted inside of their hearts. See, they didn't say nothing. The fact that Jesus knew what they were saying, they were affected. And I'm here to tell you right now, there may be people that are disappointed right now inside of this room. Come on, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. There may be people inside of this room that you're disappointed. You're upset because it wasn't the way that you thought it was supposed to be. You pictured it inside of your head. It was going to be totally different. That wasn't the position. That wasn't the one. That's not the thing that I really saw myself. I didn't see it happening that way. But I hope you got some encouragement this morning. I hope you got some encouragement this morning. Stay faithful. Get violent and dig through some things for a victory. Don't listen to what everybody else had to say. Everybody else probably said, you know what? We're full. Adios. Bye, Candia. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. And how many of y'all know the world will tell you that? The world will tell you that. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. You have the mind of Christ. If God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? I'm just here to tell you this morning, whatever that thing is, whatever that's heavy on the inside of you, whatever that thing that you saw, there's no way I'm going to come out of this. I hope you receive something. This should build your faith this morning because this is the word. This ought to build your faith. Maybe that ministry that you launched, that it hasn't gone the way that, God, you told me to do it. I'm here to tell you, you just keep plugging in. You keep pushing through and you find friends that will pick you up and elevate you. And you say, you know what? You do what God called you to do. I tell you what, I promise you, this building that you're standing in, if it was up to people around, pastors, it would have never been built because I'm sure there was naysayers. There was people saying, no way. But you know what it took? It took faith to build this place. It took faith to build to buy this property. It took faith to build all three buildings. It took faith. And it took people in their corner saying, you know what? We're not going to listen to them. We're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. That door may have been shut, but I promise you, we're going to dig in. We're going to go to the rooftop. And no matter what it takes, we're going to get on the inside of there. Where people's lives are going to be changed. Where people are going to be set free, delivered, and healed. Where people are going to come back to the land of the living. Come on. How many of y'all believe that this morning? There was people who told Michael Jordan, you're terrible at basketball. Yes, he did. He did. There's always going to be people who tell you, there is no way. Oh, man, there's always another way. Can I tell you this morning? There's always another way. I've been told that. You ain't gonna have no babies. There's always a way to have babies. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever situation. Maybe it's not a baby. Maybe it's a job. Whatever it is. I hope this builds your faith this morning. I hope this builds your faith this morning. There's always a way. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Their faith. Their faith. When he saw their faith. What are some actions that you're doing to show the Lord you're in faith right now? What are some things you're doing that you're in faith? I'm not believing the doctor's report. I'm believing the word of the Lord. I'm not believing the lawyer's report. I'm believing the word of the Lord. I'm not believing CNN. I'm believing the word of the Lord. I'm not believing Dr. Fauci. I'm believing the word of the Lord. I'm not believing the doctors. Come on. I'm believing the word of the Lord. Those things are facts. This is faith. Those things are facts. These things are faith. Faith will change your life. Come on. This week, who's going to have people in their corner to take you to elevated places? Come on. Don't let the enemy talk you out of a victory. Don't let the enemy talk you out of a victory. I'm going to say that one more time. Don't let the enemy talk you out of a victory. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Just this week, I was at a place, barn shooting. She was asking me all these questions, things, you know. Have you had the shot? All this different stuff. And she began to tell me all these stories. And I said, you know what? You can tell me the most gruesome stories in the world, and I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I'll share chapstick with a homeless person right now. I am not afraid. Now, I don't encourage you to do that. I was just joking, by the way. Don't put that on YouTube. I put it on YouTube. I don't care. The enemy will try to talk you out of a victory. The enemy will talk you out of a victory. Don't let him do it. Just remember this week. Just remember this week. You crawl through the roof. You get in there and you get at the feet of Jesus. He will comfort you. He will guide you. He will give you direction. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. Lord, I thank you for the many that came forward this morning, that healing happened in their body. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise for the rain that has happened and been poured out on us. Lord, I just thank you for the breakthrough that happened in people's lives. Those that came forward by the word of God, the word you gave for me, for them. Lord, I pray for those right now in Jesus' name. You're going to continually begin to speak to them and show them the answer. In Jesus' name. If you're in this room under the sound of my voice and you're in here and say, you know what, I'm away from the Lord. There was a time that I was close to him, but I can honestly say that I've backed up and I'm not close to Jesus anymore. But maybe you're also in this room and said, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Christ. In fact, this morning as the worship was playing, there was something that was tugging on your heart. There was a peace that you never felt before. There was an assurance that you never felt before. I'll tell you what it is. It's being in the presence of God. If you're here today and say, you know what? You don't know, Pastor, what I've said. You don't know what I've done. No one would ever love me. I'm here to tell you, I may not, but Jesus does. I'm of nature and of sin. Your grandma, your grandpa, those people, they may have given up on you. You may have had a mom and dad that's given up on you. You may have had somebody in your life that you've messed it up over and over and over again. But I'm here to tell you, there's someone that will love you closer than any brother. There's someone that no matter how many times you mess up, he's always with open arms pursuing after you, even in the middle of your sin. Pastor, what is sin? It's what separates us from God, the Bible says. Sin is missing the mark. It's not living a life that is holy and pursuing after righteousness. If you're in here and you're away from God because of sin in your life, you're away from God because of decisions. You're away from the Lord. I want to invite you back into his arms. I want to invite you into a relationship with him if you've never done it before. The Bible says he'll forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's only steps that you have to take. The Bible tells us, admit that you're a sinner, that you're separated from God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says to believe in your heart that he died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And the Bible says to confess him as your Lord. So if you're in here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I want to do that. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to pray for you. We want to be a part of the four that will take you to elevated places and not keep you in the dumps like the world will. So if you're in here and you say, Pastor, it's me. It's me. I want to pray with you. Say this after me, and I want to invite all of the believers already in here to pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I'm separated from you. Today I believe in my heart that you died, you were buried, but on the third day you rose again. You showed resurrection power for me. Today I invite you in my heart. I confess you as my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. From this day forward, I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I prayed that prayer, whether for the first time or maybe you just want to get things right with God. Who is that today? Just lift your hand. Is there anybody in here? It's away from the Lord. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to invite you to do one more thing. The Bible says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. There's two ways to do that. Acknowledging in front of everybody. The Bible says that angels rejoice when just one comes. They rejoice in heaven. But also there's a time to do that. It's called water baptism. In front of everybody, you're saying you're dead to your old life and you've been raised to new life. So if you're in here and you raise your hand, you say, you know what? I'm going to confess before men and my Father in heaven. I want to invite you up here. I want to pray for you if you have your hand raised right now. Come on, give them a hand as they come forward. You lifted your hand. I want to pray with you. Come on. Rejoice with them as they come. Come on up here. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sir, what is your name?
Juan.
This is Juan. Alyssa. And Jessica. Just stretch your hands out towards these. What's your name, young man? David? All right. How many of y'all believe they made the best decision they've ever made in their life? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for these right now. We get an agreement. Thank you for the life change you did inside of their heart. You took away their heart of stone, and you made it a heart of flesh. Lord, we're reminded of what you did on the cross. And Lord, I just pray right now, I connect my faith with theirs. And I pray, Lord, that you just begin to pour out your love. You begin pour out your mercy. You pour out your grace. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, do what only you can do, God. And I thank you that they are in the land of the living. They're in the land of the living. Their name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so, Lord, I pray that this day forward, they'll serve you all the days of their life. And I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that they would feel a difference on the inside of them. Lord, use us as the body of Christ to implant the engrafted word on the inside of them. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, we rejoice with you guys.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org. Or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you. Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.